Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Converse Podcast, a podcast designed and produced for the compliance world. It's your host, Melissa French from Conversant, and I'm really excited to have with me today Keith Reed, Conversant's Director of Europe, joining us from London. Thanks for joining us, Keith.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, it's good to talk. Thanks for reaching out to me.
In our latest episode, we are going to challenge the very term of compliance. Is it seen as a dirty word? So many companies today are now focusing on establishing this compliance-first culture, and I wanted to know what are the right ingredients of one. I wanted to spend some time with Keith exploring how to help reshape the view of compliance and its impact by simply shifting the industry conversation of compliance as being a business blocker into being a business enabler. So talk to us, Keith, about your background in compliance.
I was British Telecom's Director of Compliance and Ethics for about 8.5 years. So British Telecom was then a $30 billion company with about 150,000 people operating in about 176 countries. So it was quite a challenge keeping the company compliant around the globe. Prior to that, I'd been the general manager responsible for supply chain compliance. So the company spent about £6 million a year on the supply chain. So again, big supply chain, big global supply chain. And what's good now for me and for Conversant is that, you know, I bolt the supply chain part with the rest of it and so on. So, you know, we provide sort of end-to-end compliance, knowledge, expertise, practical capability.
And that six, what was that figure you quoted in pounds? Can you convert that for us?
Give me 2 seconds. That's probably that's probably about $9 billion.
So okay, wow, that is quite a massive amount of money. So given that great experience that you've brought into Conversant and just into your career, how have you seen the compliance definition change from 10 years ago to today on that global scale?
It's funny, and just sort of taking a step to one side for a minute, I was appointed to the Chief Compliance Officer role in 2013. And at the time, I mean, compliance was just seen, I remember people thinking that becoming the Chief Compliance Officer was career suicide and so on. And I say that and I mean it. Now, I can't pick up a newspaper every day on the television, there's something about compliance or ethics or regulation and so on. And that's what's happened for me in about 12 years. So over that short period, that's the difference between what was happening 10 years ago and now.
So talk to us a little bit about that career suicide idea. Why do people view it as such?
It's interesting because I took on compliance in the company, and to be honest, compliance was seen as the business prevention department. And even now, in a lot of companies that we talk to and so on, often compliance is seen as just that, the business prevention department. And to be honest, I wasn't going to have that for my team, and I wasn't going to have it for me nor my career and so on. And I just really set out to change that. And, you know, I say it now, we made a big difference. I was fortunate. I was voted Compliance Officer of the Year by my peers in the industry. I was also fortunate enough to win the Compliance Company Award for my company as well. So, it was a really good experience and so on. And it certainly absolutely was not career suicide. Best job I ever took.
So that's interesting that you got those awards during such a time when compliance carried such a negative connotation, and changing a culture, no matter the industry, is really difficult. So how did you go about actually reversing that? What were the actual tactical things you did to, you know, make a stronger compliance culture and reverse that view of compliance?
I set out within a few weeks of taking the job, I set out what I called my three wins of compliance. The first win was that we were going to be a compliant company. The second win was that we were going to be so good at it, we were going to be recognized for it. And thirdly, we were going to turn our expertise into potentially a revenue opportunity for the company. So we'd gone from a team, a group, a division, whatever, that gets in the way of business, to a respected partner at the table and an organization that potentially could generate revenue for the company. Those are the three wins, and those have stayed with me in my 8.5 years through the job, and that's what we always focused on.
And so how do you communicate those types of focuses to newcomers to the field that are maybe pushed into compliance, not because that's what they wanted to, but maybe because they're seeking to get out of like a legal function, for example?
Sure. It's a very good question. As I say, I mean, I do a lot of lectures and talks about compliance and so on. And sometimes you see people in an audience that are really just think this is a really tedious subject and so on. And I spend my life then and now trying to make people understand and realize and recognize and appreciate that compliance is key, but it's also exciting. So, for example, one of the things I get asked to talk a lot about is how you turn compliance push into employee pull. So, for example, every compliance officer in the world, doesn't matter what industry, what location, spends all their time pushing stuff out. They push out training, they push out reminders, they push out escalations. What does that lead to? It leads to compliance fatigue, it leads to pushback and so on. So what I set out to do as part of my three wins was to say, we're going to turn this from push into pull, so that people in the company, employees and so on, wanted what we were providing. And if they want it, they'll do it better, they'll do it more diligently, and so on. And that was a fundamental turning point. And as I say, that's why a lot of companies now want to hear about push to pull, because it's fundamental to their program, and they know that.
That's great. And so we've talked a lot about the first decade of compliance, it kind of breaking through, kind of challenging that status quo. What do you think the next decade is going to look like? Do you think compliance is going to even be called compliance at all?
That's, again, a good question. I think compliance is a term we'll be lurking in there all the time. But I do think over the next 10 years, technology will make a big difference to compliance, ethics and regulatory risk and so on. I think that's going to make a big difference. I think as well that some of the things that we see now is what I call the perennial challenges of compliance, we'll start to get solutions to them. So, for example, I know that in the UK, a lot of audit and risk committees and boards are very concerned about retaliation. There isn't probably a company in the land that doesn't have an anti-retaliation policy, but that's as much as it is a policy. One of the things I did was I actually looked at whistleblower data. I looked at those people's data and tried to look then to see how their career had progressed, what their promotions had been, what their pay rises, bonuses and so on had been subsequent to blowing the whistle. And you could see within minutes about retaliation, and retaliation was alive and well out there. And now that enabled me to do a lot of work about preventing retaliation in practice. But I think some of the systems that Conversant is put in place, for example, now, will enable a real focus to be maintained on preventing retaliation.
So with this focus, with technology's help, albeit whatever solution companies decide to implement and integrate into their compliance program, how do you think compliance executives are going to manage not only the changing idea of compliance as a compliance-first culture develops in their organization, but how do you think they're going to integrate those types of aspects of their culture into the changing workforce with the amount of people coming in from a millennial base all the way up to a traditionalist that's maybe not so used to technology? Do you think that will, I guess, reverse compliance in a way? Do you think technology will be a bad thing for compliance at all?
I don't think so. I think there are two parallel streams here. I think in terms of the compliance officer's lot, so to speak, technology will play a big part. I think as well that technology, particularly social media and so on, offers a whole new dimension to, compliance challenges. We're already seeing that. Bring your own device, all of those issues are the sort of things that are going to make tomorrow's compliance challenges. But again, you know, without repeating myself, people are still going to need to be trained. There's still going to be need communications. One of the most powerful things I did, and so in the UK, for example, we have what's called the Military Covenant. And the Military Covenant is an agreement between the country and its armed forces that says you're prepared to lay down your life. And because of that, we'll treat you in this way. We'll treat you in this special way. And I came up with a concept of the Compliance Covenant. And the Compliance Covenant was simply to say that compliance is important. We expect you to do this and so on. And the core of the message was, I would never expect anyone to do any training they don't need to do. I don't expect them to do it at a time they don't need to do. But what they're asked to do, what I ask you to do, you have to do. And that became a very powerful message. And I think those sort of things are going to carry on for the next 5, 10 years and beyond, because communications, training and so on, irrespective of whether it's millennials or more conventional workforce and so on, are going to remain the same.
That's great. I really like that concept a lot. It kind of puts it into a bigger picture for people to understand.
Absolutely.
And so lastly, how do you think, aside from technology and these great concepts that you're bringing into the conversation, how do you think that as a workforce in total, how do you think that we can reshape the perception of compliance being something bad, such as going to the principal's office, to something that helps a business actually succeed as the, you know, the bodyguard or the advisor for a business to even just make more money?
It's interesting because you've touched on a point that's very, very dear to me. Again, an example was that I was really concerned about our hotline. We weren't getting many calls and so on. And there were a lot of issues associated with the hotline. And what I realized was that when I was a kid growing up in London, I mean, going to the teacher, the principal, as you say, you know, was the thing you didn't do. And there was a lot of pressure on people not calling the hotline. So one of the things I did was I set up a helpline. So it was a transition almost. People were much happier about calling a helpline. And then if there was an issue, we could refer them to the hotline. We could handhold them through. One of the other things was we branded our helpline. We actually called it Veronica. You may laugh, but Veronica was our virtual regulatory compliance assistant. And so we got the company used to, we'll ask Veronica. I'll email Veronica. I'll ask Veronica and so on. And we were able then to put cardboard cutouts of Veronica in each of our reception buildings. But it doesn't, you know, there's a phrase in football, it doesn't matter how they go in, they all count. And the fact that I could hear people walk in buildings and say, oh, that's Veronica. So we got that message across. So I think perhaps I've gone slightly off the point, but all I'm saying is innovation and compliance goes hand in hand, but most people just don't believe that.
That's a great ending point, Keith. Thank you so much for all your insight, and I know our audience will find it very valuable. Enjoy the rest of your evening over there in London, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks to Keith Reed, everyone who tuned in today, and the entire team here at Conversant. Please check for our other compliance resources at conversant.com/resources. Come back often and feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. If you like what you hear today, I hope you add us to your RSS feed and check back often. Thanks for listening, and until next time.